You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning once again, 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Thursday morning. It's October 23rd. Chad Holmes standing by from Wausau. Sean O'Malley's going to talk to us about your money and the markets. And Joseph Becky's going to talk to us about Wisconsin politics and beyond. And also... being one of the chief Milwaukee Bucks fans of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, he might have some impressions on Game 1 as the Milwaukee Bucks start the season 1-0 after upending the Washington Wizards last night. Let's see, over in the mailbag here from YouTube, Rob in Tigerton says, good morning from Tigerton, partly cloudy, 37 degrees. I had a meeting in Shawano, then had lunch with my family at Luigi's in Shawano. It was great food. And he's already looking ahead to the Packers playing in Pittsburgh this weekend against Aaron Rodgers. That's a Sunday night game. And he notes the Packers, the last time they won in Pittsburgh was when Bart Starr was quarterback back in 1970. I mean, it's not like we play in Pittsburgh every year. We don't. But I guess since 1970, we haven't done so good about that. You probably hear about that from people like Chad Holmes because he doesn't just have the big high school sports show. He follows all the sports and joins us from 98.9 WXCO, where you can also hear in the background, if you're listening in Wausau, you hear this big sigh of relief coming from the mayor, Doug Denny, now that special prosecutor Eric Toney, the Fond du Lac County DA, has decided to run for attorney general. Probably won't have any time now, Chad, to look into the mayor, you know, purloining a drop box and moving it from its designated spot. I think the mayor's off the hook on this one now. I think he's going to skate. Oh, wait, he was going to anyway with Eric Toney as special prosecutor.
Two things. Number one, the Packers beat Pittsburgh 20-12 in 1970 in what would be, I believe, Bart Starr's last win as starting quarterback in his career with the Green Bay Packers. And number two, Doug Denny. Yes, I mean, was there ever any doubt when Eric Toney was named the special counsel, whatever you want to call it? And the thing that's interesting about the mayor, and we did have in the past week the ethics committee say that he did something wrong, which I think is significant. I think, you know, at this point, whether or not he does have any, I would call, tangible consequences to this, I do think it's still important that this group, after all these months, after all this pressure, did decide, hey, that yes, he did something wrong and that he deserves to be said so, that he did break ethics rules in his movement of the Dropbox. But another thing that I will add is it's not changing who Doug Denny is. The mayor of Wausau right now, just today, a headline in the Wausau Daily Herald is that he's threatening to veto the budget, that he is, you know, upset that the council's budget actually involves any kind of taxes, because I mean, if you look at the issues involved, that there are things that just naturally the prices go up on, and that you have to make adjustments. And in the big picture, the policies at the federal government affect the policies of the state government. The policies of the state government affect the policies of the county and local governments. So Doug Denny is just, his first thing is he put out a release saying that, hey, oh, the first thing that the council wants to do is raise taxes. Well, I agree 100% that every dollar of taxpayer funds needs to be guarded with your life, and that anything that we do spend on needs to be vetted exceptionally tightly. But the problem is that on the other side is they will never, ever touch a dollar of taxes to the Ulines of the world, or the Diane Hendricks of the world, or all the wealthy people of the world. There has to be something in between that we have to start to, in terms of working on these budgets, where there's red lines all the time. you will never see a Republican do what George H.W. Bush did, is said, this pledge doesn't work, that we have to actually come together and make a deal, because then it ruined his standing within the Republican Party. We have not seen anybody with any kind of courage on that realm in the 25, 30 years since then.
And what they have proven since then is this. Like you said, there is middle ground in there someplace, but it is not middle ground to say that we're, you know, read my lips, no new taxes. Because at that point, when they say, well, we're not going to raise taxes, and so you're going to have to tighten your belts more. You know, we can't help it if you can't keep up with inflation. You're just going to have to cut things. Well, when you're saying that, you are doing the bidding of the billionaires. Because like you just said, we're not going to raise Diane Hendricks' taxes. We're not going to raise John Menard's taxes. We're not going to raise Dick Eline's taxes. You know, we're going to just make a school district or make a city deal with inflation without any new dollars. That's what 70% or so of school districts are seeing right now, with that 0% increase in general state aid. Well, inflation ain't 0%, folks. And so either they got to come back to the public through a referendum, or hope that a legislature is going to recognize that there's inflation, maybe raise taxes at the top end of the margins, and help adequately fund our schools. And if they're not doing that, like I said, in my book, they're just doing the bidding of the billionaires in the first place.
And the things that more money is needed for in the WASA budget, and I will say thanks to WASA Daily Herald reporter Eric Fonts for putting this in his story, because he says, what are the significant additions to the budget? And one is a 3% cost of living raise for non-union city employees and a $4 raise for employees represented by police and fire unions. That is not up to the level of inflation for the past year, is it? I mean, no. You're not giving an overwhelming raise for these employees. There's a net increase of $175,000 for homeless shelter costs, which I think, and anybody that lives here in WASA knows that is a very vital issue. There's a renewal of the trash and recycling contract and a $400,000 increase. An increase in about $293,000 for debt service on capital projects. I mean, these are things where these are the prices of doing business in our community. And I have no problem at looking at some other discretionary spending and trying to be as frugal as possible. But you also have to look at the other side of it as well. And when you're number one priority is, I'm never going to ask anybody that is doing well to maybe give a little bit more in order for the betterment of our whole community, then you have this loggerhead that nothing ever gets done with.
Right. And we hear all the time, well, what it really is it's a spending problem. No, it's a tax
system. That's what the mayor says, exactly. Yeah, it's always a spending problem.
Yeah. No, it's a tax system that is out of whack when people at the higher margins pay a lower and lower, you know, rate compared to, you know, every blue collar worker, every nurse, every social worker, every teacher. When they're paying a rate that's even less than that, then that's a sign of a broken system, and it is not sustainable. We're talking to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO. You can hear his updates throughout the morning here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Hey, we, in our history lesson, wished a happy birthday to the folks over at Channel 7, which launched on this day 71 years ago, first as WSAU-TV and then as WSAW-TV, which they are now. And I share this only because it took until today, thanks to Wikipedia, which is never wrong, so it must be the case. I never knew the story behind the logo there. Every time I'd see, you know, Channel 7 out of Wausau, they'd have that little knight in armor and all that. Then it notes here, Channel 7 originally operated from the Plumber Mansion, a Romanesque style building on North 5th Street, which was torn down in 1972. The castle-like exterior and the suit of armor displayed in the mansion inspired the medieval style 7 logo, along with an accompanying cartoon mascot, the fully armored knight Sir 7, which I always thought was one of the goofier TV logos ever, but it sure had staying power.
I have a brush with greatness when it comes to Sir 7.
Okay.
Back in 1991, I was going to college here at the University of Wisconsin-Marathon County. And I was part of a student theater group. And we did the show Play It Again, Sam. And I had the lead part in that show. And as part of the set design, the set design, it was a bunch of old movie posters and blah, blah. And for some reason, whoever designed the set, and actually I one of my close friends designed the set, and we called up where they had retired Sir Seven as the mascot at that time.
Okay.
And Sir Seven was being held somewhere. And I don't know where. I don't know all the story, but we called up, we got Sir Seven, and we had Sir Seven on the stage in this apartment as the part of the set. So, I mean, literally, it is a suit of armor. It's about 6.5 feet tall. I mean, it's not a small, I guess you can get in there and move around, but Sir Seven is on the set. And I should post that on my social media, because I do have pictures of that where Sir Seven was right there at the top of the set, part of the show. I'd be on stage and there would be Sir Seven right there as well.
And you know, the locals all recognized it and loved it. That had
absolutely.
To be, that had to be fun. Oh, that
was fun. It was great to be hanging out with Sir Seven.
Yeah, no, that's great. You know, you don't see a lot of TV station mascots anymore.
No, you don't. But Sir Seven, and you're right. I mean, Sir Seven is cool. I'll say that. They should never take away Sir Seven. He should be out front for everything that they do.
Well, why not? If you've got something like that, I mean, there was a time when NBC, and that we're talking, you know, 70s, 80s, tried to like get rid of the peacock. You know, it's like, oh, we're too cool for the that's so 1960s. And somebody like, why wouldn't you lean into this? And they've had the peacock thing going ever since. If you've got a brand and it's working, you know, then run with it, because
absolutely
other places would kill for, you know, branding that has that kind of longevity. So that's great. How are you doing with high school playoffs for football? You've got to be one busy fellow this week.
Well, tomorrow night, heading down to the Milwaukee area, actually, because Wausau West plays Heartland Arrowhead, and they're very good. Mm-hmm. So, but from what I've heard, I got a friend who's a broadcaster who says, hey, that's the greatest place you'll ever go to broadcast from, because some places, sometimes you have to actually sit in the crowd, and sometimes it's very tight. And from what I've been told, it's a wonderful place.
I was going to say, it's Heartland. Yeah, it's going to be plush.
I said to him, yeah, that's the good news. The bad news is you'll see Heartland Arrowhead's football team on the other side of the field. So,
well, there is that, you know.
It's a very, very stiff test, but it's also a fun time of year. And had a young man from Merrill High School on our big high school sports show last night and asked about, you know, level one playoffs. The playoffs are beginning, and it's such a cool thing. And their team hasn't had a home game in a while, so it's like, it's very exciting for them to be at home. And mm-hmm. it's just, and now this week, finally, the weather's cooled down and it actually feels like football. So there's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night throughout the state of Wisconsin with the kickoff of the playoffs.
I saw a story here from Channel 13 about Altoona. Did not realize Altoona has never hosted a home playoff football game, and so they're kind of excited about that. And you know, cool. Every so often you got to remember to put yourself back in your high school shoes about what a big deal that is, not just to be in the postseason, but to be able to play in front of the home crowd and everything. So you get to see.
I bet you know this. Do you know the most famous Altoona High School football graduate?
I do not.
Fred Fuzzy Thurston.
No, of course. I actually, yes, now that you say that, I remember hearing that a very long time ago.
Many years ago, I think the only time I've ever been to Altoona, I went to a game. They were playing Mozanie, and there was some special event, and Fred Fuzzy Thurston was actually there, and I thought that was a cool thing. And the field's named after him, so it's very, very cool.
That's right. I remember that now. This is why Art
Starr and Fred Fuzzy Thurston, both Green Bay Packer glory year figures.
This is why artists put him on Facebook. Chad Holmes is a great reporter. I call him a local hero for all he does in the community. Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it.
Almost as heroic as Sir Seven.
Almost. Sean O'Malley is coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
The Milwaukee Bucks were winners over the Washington Wizards last night to start off their 2025-26 NBA season with a 1-0 record. Civic Media radio stations have several options for sports in the coming days here. Of course, you heard Chad Holmes talking all about high school football playoffs. Also, coming up Friday, the Badger men's basketball team is going to be on the radio. Still their exhibition season, but they will be at Fiserv Forum on Friday night, taking on Oklahoma. Coverage begins at 6:30 on several Civic Media stations. Then on Saturday, the Badger football team is at Oregon. That's a night game. Coverage begins at 4 p.m., kickoff around 6 p.m., again on several Civic Media stations. And several Civic Media stations will have the Packers taking on Pittsburgh in Sunday night football. Kickoff at 7:20, so coverage will begin at 5 p.m. Sunday on stations around the Civic Media radio network. If you want to know which specific stations have which particular sports, then you're going to head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. Let's talk about your money and the markets here with Sean O'Malley now, a Hudson native who's also had a lengthy Wall Street career in anti-money laundering, financial risk management, data analytics and compliance, fraud and risk management. And yet for all of that, he still gets confused sometimes. He thinks MAGA stands for Make America Great Again. Sean, you and I both know there's a new definition of that, right?
That's right. We always thought that first day was for America, but apparently no, it actually stands for Make Argentina Great Again.
There we go. Who knew? All this time we thought we had it nailed down, but MAGA is actually about Argentina.
We do our homework with diligence. We try to be, forthright about what we think is happening, but even we sometimes get fooled.
Yeah.
So
here we are.
Yeah, as the perfect follow-on to last week's announcement, of course, about the U.S. Guaranteeing $40 billion in aid to Argentina, which then Argentina turned around and used to subsidize their sales of soybeans to China, which did not help U.S. soybean farmers at all, because what happened? It dropped the price in the market. So the soybeans that they wanted to be able to sell, that they wanted to market for, that they wanted to be able to sell at a price higher than what it cost them to grow, well, they're going to have to keep waiting for that because we're too busy supporting Argentina. But we have doubled down on that bet with Argentina. We are now deciding, President Trump has decided that we need to help Argentina some more and is currently considering buying 80,000 metric tons of Argentinian beef. To put that in perspective for you folks at home, because I don't know how much a metric ton is either, that is 176 million pounds of beef.
That is, as a lot of people across rural America are saying, insane. Because, first off, when you heard the initial news about the bailout to a country that is currently selling all of its soybeans to China, I'm sure you heard a lot of people in rural Wisconsin, rural America going, oh, good thing I don't farm soybeans. It's a good thing I'm just raising these beef cattle. Oh, wait. Now, here's a kick in the pants for you. And by the way, that $40 billion in the aid, in the direct aid, in the private sector aid that's being raised, that would pay for about 2 years' worth of the health insurance premiums that Trump and the Republicans are allowing to expire. And so instead of the bailout, if you take that $40 billion and apply it toward Affordable Care Act, health insurance premium tax credits, people would not be seeing their health insurance costs spike to the degree that they are about to. So as we said about the big bloated boondoggle bill of theirs, it's not about not having the money. It's about deciding where the money should go, and it shouldn't go to you.
Apparently not. Yeah, but you're overlooking one of the best things of buying Argentinian beef. They have a disease problem right now. They have hoof and mouth.
Yep.
So not only do we get the benefit of having this basically infected beef coming here, Republicans are clearly trying to just make us, finding another way to make us
sicker. I
thought
it was Make America Healthy Again. No.
Yeah, okay. No.
It turns out that acronym was wrong, too. It's Make America Hurl Again, apparently.
We try, right? We get the letters right, and sometimes we don't get the meaning right.
By the way, food safety inspections risk being curtailed because of the government shutdown here as well. I mean, it's a disaster on all fronts.
Well, that's actually a eliminating them. They've already been curtailed. They used to scan for a much broader range of potential pathogens. They are now down to three that they scan for. So they've already had to cut back, and now we're looking at potential elimination entirely. So eat at your own risk, America.
You know, the old James Carville line is, it's the economy, stupid. And it's as true now as it ever was. I mean, you can have all the bluster that you want, but, you know, performance matters in the economy. And since we don't have any economic data to look at because of the shutdown, let's look at some polling data and how are they doing on, you know, it's the economy, stupid as a scorecard.
They're doing stupid. They're doing stupid. I think it's pretty much universal across the board. So I went and compiled a whole series of different sources, different polls that have all been done fairly recently. And the range is basically from, you've got a lot of sort of, you know, approve and disapprove. There are a couple where that are a little bit more unique, like Axios says, you know, what percentage of people think that the economy is going the wrong way. But that's roughly in line with what we're seeing with everything else. They're saying 65% of Americans feel that the economy is going the wrong way. And Pew Research had something a little bit different also. They basically asked, you know, do you think economic conditions are sort of, you know, poor, fair, blah, blah, blah. And 74% of Americans said economic conditions are only fair or poor. So we're definitely seeing a lot of, you know, disapproval across the board from, you know, the NORC, Center for Public Affairs, to Quinnipiac University, CNBC, Fox News, CBS News.
So the scoreboard's not working out well. And as mentioned by a text just now from Christopher in Beaver Dam, let's not forget Argentina is a non-extradition country. Trump's going to need somewhere to flee once the poop emoji hits the fan. So we'll talk more about this with Sean O'Malley after the opening bell. And then Joe Zepecki to follow. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, get yourself signed up for Civic Media's new daily newsletter, chock full of links to show highlights and much more. Head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Time for a little money in the markets after the opening bell with Sean O'Malley, with Joe Zepecki standing by to talk about more about what's in the news this week. But one news story I wanted to ask you about, Sean, dealt with the State of Wisconsin Investment Board. And reports that, I recall talking a few weeks back, maybe it was a couple months back, I'm not exactly sure, but that it was discovered that the State of Wisconsin Investment Board had invested in multiple cryptocurrency funds. And it was a little concerning that they'd invested $187 million. But by the end, the initial $99 million investment had grown to $321 million. And then they did the thing that, I mean, I'm no financial advisor, but even I recommended at the time. It's like, if you're there to make money, make a little money and then get the heck out of there. What were your own impressions about the story?
Well, it's kind of interesting to talk about SWIB again after all these years. My experience goes back 21 years with SWIB to actually 2004 when I worked for the financial guarantee company that was providing the financial guarantee for State of Wisconsin Investment Board. It's interesting to see that they've gone from a much more conservative mix from what I recall back then, which was primarily municipal bonds, to ETFs that trade in crypto. I also thought their comment about, well, we're not buying crypto directly, was a little disingenuous. It's like, okay, yeah, but you're buying an ETF that invests in crypto and invests in Bitcoin. So that's sort of like saying, okay, we didn't buy any bonds, but we bought an ETF that invests in bonds. Like,
right.
You got the bonds, guys, you know?
Right. And the State of Wisconsin Investment Board, now they manage the assets of the Wisconsin retirement system with more than 692,000 participants. And so, again, I'm not saying that you have to put it in a shoebox and bury it, but it is very indicative of, you know, the financial times themselves. When you and I were growing up, you were very happy if your local savings and loan gave you 5% on your passbook savings account, and that was it. But now it's always the push for higher margins and better returns. And it was just weird to see that the state investment board is no different.
Yeah, and it reminds me of something, someone else who did something similar back in Orange County back in the mid-90s, Robert Citrone, who is the treasurer of Orange County, who invested in a series of interest rate derivatives that, of course, when suddenly interest rates went the wrong direction, Mr. Citrone's bets went bad and went bad rather significantly and nearly bankrupt Orange County. So, you know, more risk means more risk. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I'm glad that they got their money and did well and got out. Staying out, I think, is the wise move going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, I can hear people all throughout the Milwaukee County talking about the pension scandal there. So there's no shortage of caution flags that are out there. And I'm glad in this instance, it ended well, but, that's the high risk, high reward thing. I don't know that you want your state investment board to necessarily play. Sean, thank you for the insight. Appreciate it very much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, Pat. Have a good one.
Yep. Have a good week. Let's bring in Joe Zepecki now to talk a little bit about what's happening in the news as well. Joe, I'm sure you heard that discussion, and you and I have been around state politics long enough to know, and we're familiar with things like, you know, the Milwaukee County pension situation that, I mean, I was very surprised to hear about, you know, the state investment board making a big crypto investment like that. Maybe you're a little more jaded than I am and go, it's okay. They do what they're going to do.
What is the total value of the statewide investment fund right now? Because I would say I'm not sure $187 million is actually that big a bet.
It's not. It amounted to less than 1% of their total assets, which were more than $162 billion as of last year. So, yes, that point is very well taken.
This is a lot like the obsession last week over J.B. Pritzker winning $1.4 million playing blackjack, which to you or I is like winning $500, maybe a $1,000.
Yeah.
You know, the scale matters. So I don't think people should be losing their minds about that. The statewide investment board is well run. It is one of the most well respected and regarded statewide pension funds in the country. And yeah, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. And let me give proper credit. Some of these notes that I'm getting are from Ricardo Torres' story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But now let's turn to a story in the New York Times, and then a story, or an editorial rather, in the Milwaukee Courier. In both cases, I mean, if you're Mandela Barnes, the former lieutenant governor and potential candidate for governor, you got to be looking at these stories going, who did I tick off to get a story in the Times, which you are quoted talking more generally about the race, but that casts doubts or expresses doubts of other people on Mandela Barnes's effectiveness in 2022 running against Ron Johnson and whether he should run again for governor. And then the Milwaukee Courier editorial, which is just flat out saying, Mandela, don't run. You can't win. Mandela's not having the best week right now.
Well, let's keep everything in perspective. And one of the things that we know about Mandela Barnes is that he has never been an establishment favorite.
Right.
Frankly, he wasn't in 2022, which is why he was not given the nomination for the United States Senate. That was a crowded field with other really good Democrats in it, like Alex Lazary and Sarah Godlewski and Thomas Nelson. And despite the fact that Mandela didn't have the full, you know, support of the establishment behind him, he won that primary, and he was so far ahead that every single one of those other candidates didn't want to face the prospect of a huge loss to him, and then got out of the way so it could look like they paved the way for him. And, you know, whether it's the primary challenge he ran against a sitting Democrat in the state Senate before he became lieutenant governor, or whether it's, you know, the way that he is clearly perceived by the establishment right now, he's not a guy who's ever been the favorite. And given how much frustration there is out there with the Democratic Party, I'm not so sure that's not exactly where you want to be. which is running against the establishment. So that's my first thing that I just want to remind people about Mandela's reputation over the years. He's not afraid to sort of call people out, challenge the status quo, and that might be a winning message. But before it can be a winning message, he's got to decide whether or not he gets in the race. You mentioned that I was quoted in that story, and my take on it, I'll share with listeners, which is that, you know, right now, this part of the quote they cut, but right now, Sarah Rodriguez is the leader, is the front runner in my estimation, given the amount of money she has reported raising, given the amount of financial support she has gotten commitments from outside groups like the Democratic Lieutenant Governors Association. She's in the catbird seat. That dynamic will change if Mandela gets in the race. He would be the front runner on day one, given his electoral history. And, you know, that's my opinion. It's not a fact. We don't know until we see how this thing goes. But this won't be a rerun of 2022, where for as many candidates as there were in that Democratic primary, everybody played nice. There wasn't any contrast messaging. People weren't going after one another. In a gubernatorial primary with this many candidates, this many good candidates, nobody's going to be given anything. Mandela will have to earn it. And, you know, if he decides to run, we will see what happens. But what I am, frankly, pretty tired of is this level of insider nonsense from operatives and activists who think they know better than the voters. Because if I've learned anything in the last 5 years, it's that the political class, of which I am a part, to be clear, doesn't know a darn thing about what the vast majority of Wisconsinites and Americans are going through on a day-to-day basis. If you read that, you know, that Courier thing, which is ridiculous, you know, that's clearly written by one person, and you might have noticed that there was not one name on it.
Right.
And so I don't think we need to be talking about 2022 spending and margins. I think we need to be talking about what this Trump administration is doing to farmers in northern Wisconsin. We need to be talking about what the Trump administration is doing to limit access to rural health care, how the tariff policy is hammering folks, and it's going to get worse. And we need to talk about the role of the state of Wisconsin in combating that, in standing up to an out-of-control executive branch that is infringing on states' rights and abilities to govern themselves and make their own decisions every single day. If you want to have a debate about that, if you want to criticize something that any of these candidates may have done that cedes power to the federal government rather than taking power here at the state level, let's have that debate. Let's draw contrasts there, because the polling or the fundraising from 2022 is not what puts food on the table. It's not what helps, you know, parents afford childcare in Wisconsin. So I don't have much time for nonsense like that Courier thing.
And in between all of that, by the way, tearing down part of the White House, which is not what the guy said he was going to do to put up his gilded ballroom. And again, I know that that's only symbolism, but it's not just symbolism of excess and of, you know, of grift and everything else, but it's symbolism of how, whether, again, it could be Derek Van Orden, Ron Johnson, Brian Stile, they have all just completely knuckled under in a way that you never would have heard from them pre-Trump. To them, you know, Congress was there to be part of the series of checks and balances, and now they're just like, yes sir, yes sir, how high can we jump, sir? It's just depressing from a civics standpoint.
It's infuriating. Yeah. The idea that the state of Wisconsin is going to run out of money for SNAP so that working families, including some military families, mm-hmm. who don't make enough money, that so they need a little bit of help to put food on the table. In 8 days, those dollars run out, but we've got $250 million to demolish a ballroom and build it back even bigger. The idea that we've got, you know, that Trump wants $230 million from the Department of Justice for DOJ investigating him for crimes.
Oh, that's just a shakedown. Can we just call it a shakedown? That's what it is.
Yeah. And we don't have, You know, but meanwhile, we have $20 billion to give to Argentina mm-hmm. while the United States soybean market is like collapsing in on itself. The Republican Party is making clearer than ever its priorities. They have money for their toys and for their little pet projects, but they don't have money or any interest in supporting we the people. It people should be infuriated by this. Not because you're not allowed to, you know, update the White House, right? It's happened before, but the idea that you get to do it without Congress, without local authorities, anybody listening to this, they try to add on to their house, they know they got to go to the village or the town or the city and get those approval. But Donald Trump doesn't think the rules apply to him, and Republicans in Congress are just going, whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. And enabling him to do what's only been done one time before, and that was the British in 1814. But anyway, we're talking to Joe Sopecki here, and on the other side of the break, we'll have some final news and notes from Lake Wissota. And, you know, the Bucks, they're 1-0. We'll ask Joe how they looked as well as we talk about that and his impression of all of the No Kings rallies that took place across the state and across the country. Tomorrow, of course, it'll be Friday. We'll have our regular Week in Review guests, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, and Jennifer Scholze as well, helping follow the headlines of the day, as well as Dr. Kristen Lyerly from Pittsburgh. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back. It is 8:52 on a Thursday, which means Todd Alba does a little drop-in as well to join me and Joe Sopecki in talking about the issues of the day, although Mr. Alba appears to be joining us remotely from, I don't know, is that sagebrush? Are you in the desert southwest? where the heck are you?
Pat and Joe, I'm happy to be here. I'm reporting from Sun Prairie, where Jimmy the Groundhog and I are waiting to see if Dr. Jill Underly will emerge in a committee hearing today. We're seeing if that. No. I'm on my way out to Richland County, and so I stopped here, beautiful Black Earth, next to the Black Creek here. So, a beautiful day, and I got my Joe Thomas Hall of Fame beef hat on, because, you know, if Donald Trump was as adamant about keeping beef out of a country as he is actual Argentinians, we might have something.
Well, yeah, there is something to be said for that. So Todd will have all this and more from 2 till 4 this afternoon. Joe, you did not get a chance to watch the Bucks season opener because you're on the road for work and doing things, but you checked out the box score, Joe. How are you feeling? 1-0 at this point.
The numbers that Giannis put up in just 27 minutes, look out, league. The association has not seen Giannis play like he is apparently ready to go this year. And anytime you have one of the top five players in the league, you're going to be good. Whether they've put the right pieces around him to contend, that will, you know, emerge over the net, probably the first 50 games of the season, but a very good start.
Todd, you've been so immersed in the movie No Packers, No Life, and before that, the Brewers movie. Can we get you to put on a Bucks hat for just a moment and tell us if this is the year?
I think it is. I mean, one of the cool things, I did not watch the entire game, but I mean, Joe is a much bigger fan. I wait until the season actually starts in May, and then I get excited. I thought one of the cool things the organization was the welcome video and everything they had. Welcome back for Chris Middleton. Yes. I thought that was all class, and there's a real relationship between he and Giannis, and I just thought that was really spoke well of the Bucks organization.
Yeah, again, much like the Willie Adames welcome back, it was a nice moment. We need moments like that in sports now and then. Joe, what's your impression on the No Kings marches around Wisconsin and around the country last weekend?
Incredibly moving to see so many ordinary Americans, not your typical activist, you know, like every day, every week protesters out there. The number of veterans who were out there you know, living up to the oaths that they swore to the Constitution when they served and saying, this is not who we are. We, you know, there is nothing more American than protesting the idea of a king. And I know that some of the pushback on the right was like, Donald Trump's not a king. He won an election. And I guess my question was, no kings doesn't have the name Donald Trump in it. No kings is a bedrock philosophy that this country was founded on. If you are criticizing the no kings marches and protests, I guess my question is, when did you become pro-king? Do you think we should have kings in America? And I haven't gotten a very good answer to that.
Well, it's kind of like Antifa. It's like, wait a minute. That stands for anti-fascist. Are you pro-fa?
Or do they think that the right time to protest against a monarch would be after that monarch throws out the Constitution and says, we no longer have the ability to peacefully assemble and demonstrate against the government? I don't know what they want us to do.
And that is a real concern. How is the view from that of a former Republican? And again, not a Democrat, but a former Republican who spent many years at the state capitol watching Democrats and independents and some Republicans marching over the weekend, Mr. Alba?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. Exercising First Amendment rights, I think overall it gives people a sense of belonging, because I think in this world we're all stuck on devices. It's like, is anybody out there? That's a line from a musical. But I think people found out, yeah, there's a lot of people out there like us. And, you know, I'll just note the act. We had 100,000 people show up during Act 10 against Scott Walker. My former boss was the only Republican to vote against that. And he was on this committee that oversees the state capitol. And there was all this, all this damage. There was almost zero damage to the state capitol. 100,000 people showed up. And I think it just, once again, No Kings Rally proves Americans can do it peacefully, joyfully, celebrate America, and rise up against, once again, tyranny 250 years later.
Yeah, well, somebody continues to prove why there's the need for these demonstrations. Todd, I know that you talk about Wonder State Coffee quite a bit, but in the comment sections on YouTube from somebody named Dylan, Todd, if you're looking for good coffee on your way to Richland County, stop at 1855 Coffee House in Mazo.
Really? I'm going to be going through there in about 10 minutes. Maybe I'll have to do that.
There you go. Did you know that there are Kreitlows in Mazo, Maney, that I've never met?
Really?
Yes.
Just stop by and say hello if you want me to.
You can do some really dreadful investigative work on my behalf.
No, we're all about bringing people together, Pat. You know, I mean, so Kreitlow on Kreitlow, I mean, that'd be fantastic.
Sure. That's where we roll from here. Joe, you've got the little time there, and then you're coming back for the start of the week here. Now that the No Kings rallies are behind us and the shutdown just rolls on, I mean, I kind of feel like, how does the public not lose the momentum coming out of last weekend, and we just continue to see pain pile up from you know, this shutdown? Is it's almost a helpless feeling. Can people do anything?
Yes, they can. They can call their Republican members of Congress. There's five of them across the state of Wisconsin in the House. There's United States Senator Ron Johnson, and the tens of thousands of Wisconsinites who get their health care plans through the Affordable Care Act. Next week is when open enrollment starts, and there is going to be sticker shock.
Oh, yeah.
And we need everyone to understand that the reason that Obamacare health care plans are spiking in price is because Republicans refuse to extend premium tax credits that have been on the books for years. They got $20 billion for Argentina, but they don't have enough to make your healthcare more affordable. They got $250 million for a ballroom, but they will not make your healthcare more affordable. Continue to ride them on that.
All right, Joe Zepecki, safe travels for you. And Todd, who's got the hat and the shades on, it looks like he's about to shoot an elk that's going to come up from behind him here. I mean, I don't know what hunting show I'm watching, but this is a true sportsman right here, hunting wabbits. Todd, thank you very much. Good to talk to you as well.
Always good to see you guys.
Bye-bye. All right. We'll see you later. Thanks to all of you for joining us as well. We'll see you Friday morning with our Week in Review panel, Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Mike Clemens with sports here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.